This podcast is sponsored by Aspire Pharma.
Welcome back to episode 4 on our series of podcasts that explore the impact of dry skin conditions on an individual's mental health with Dr. Anthony Bewley. On our final podcast, we would love to hear a little bit about psychodermatology at the Royal London, what patients you see and who can be referred.
Yeah, thank you very much, Aisling. It's a real pleasure to be here again, and I really relish the opportunity to talk about psychodermatology. Now, psychodermatology isn't just available at the Royal London Hospital, but is available across the UK. But it's available very variably. So some centres have psychodermatology services, but lots do not. And that's across the whole of the UK and Ireland. And for that matter, it's also the same across Europe and the globe. And I think in Psychodermatology UK and the European organisation, which is called ESDAP, the European Society for Dermatology and Psychiatry, we are very keen to make sure that psychodermatology services are available at least regionally across the globe, and certainly across all of the nations of the UK and the Republic of Ireland. And that most certainly isn't the case at the moment. So we've audited this a few times, back in 2003 and then 2011 and then more recently in 2020. And in the UK, it has got better, but it's by no means comprehensively available. And that's a shame. We do need to have psychodermatology services across the globe, but certainly across the UK in at least regional centres. Why do we need psychodermatology services? Well, first of all, we know that for patients who have psychodermatological conditions, having a psychodermatology service, first of all, gets them better more quickly, more comprehensively, and with less recurrence. But also for managers, it means that the patients are managed more cost effectively. And I would say that psychodermatology teams are a multidisciplinary team, and it involves dermatologists, psychiatrists, psychologists, primary care colleagues, but crucially, dermatology nurses. And I think that the extended role of nurses into psychodermatology has not been facilitated or has not been made as comprehensively available as it could be or should be, because I think nurses are in a great position to really help in terms of provision of psychodermatology services. Now, going back to your original question, which was, what is psychodermatology? Psychodermatology, we tend to think of as being two sides of the same coin. It is either primary psychological disease, which comes to us as dermatology healthcare professionals. So that's things like delusional infestation or body dysmorphic disorder, dermatitis artifacta, trichotillomania, people who pick at their skin repeatedly, or people who gouge at their skin, or people who pull their hair out, that kind of thing. Or it is primary dermatological disease. This is the other side of the coin. It is primary dermatological disease in which there is large psychosocial comorbidities. So that's things like eczema, psoriasis, vitiligo, dry skin, in which case patients feel anxious and or depressed, or even sometimes suicidal. In my work, I see about 80% of my patients are in the first category, which is primary psychiatric or psychological disease presenting to us as dermatology healthcare professionals. It's only about 20% of my work, which is primary dermatological disease presenting with anxiety and or depression. And yet that second category is the category which is particularly huge. So we know from the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Skin report from 2020 that a massive 98% of patients who live with skin disease have psychological distress as a consequence of their skin disease. And we know that 5% of patients who live with skin disease, that 1 in 20 patients who live with skin disease, consider suicide as a consequence of living with their skin disease. And that's at least twice the normal background rate of suicidal ideation. Now, as I spoke to a moment or two ago, it's really important that we as dermatology healthcare professionals provide psychodermatology services for our patients, because we know that it can make such a big difference to the well-being of our patients.
There's some staggering figures there. Thank you for sharing that. And when you just think about the sheer quantity of patients we see, because here in a, you know, a secondary or tertiary centre, we're only seeing a relatively small percentage comparative to those out there with actual skin conditions that never end up making their way to us. If I can just ask you, because you mentioned a few different diseases then, I just want to pick up on things like skin picking disorders. So as nurses, we often, you know, see quite a lot of patients. How can we support patients, and would it be appropriate to challenge these patients on their beliefs?
So with skin picking disease, and there is a brilliant paper from Uwe Gieler about skin picking and the ESDAP group, the European Society for Dermatology and Psychiatry group, which gives you a very clear algorithmic approach to skin picking. With skin picking, you have to decide whether it's localized or generalized, and then you have to decide whether there is some degree of ownership of skin picking, or patients don't own that they're picking at their skin, and then you manage really according to that. For patients who own up, however reluctantly they own up to it, that they are picking at their skin, then that's relatively straightforward, in that you have got a platform from which you can then say, okay, I understand that you're picking at your skin, and I understand that we need to find a way of deconstructing that as well as treating the skin problem at the same time. Usually, if patients are picking at their skin and they own that they are picking at their skin, there is a habit component to that, and identifying the habit component can be helpful, and dermatology nurses who are trained in habit reversal can provide deconstruction of the habit component. What I mean by the habit component is that patients can find that they pick at certain times of the day. That might be when they get back from school or from work, or it might be first thing in the morning before they go to school or work. Or it might be at dedicated times during the day when they feel an irresistible urge to pick at their skin. So deconstructing the habit component can be really helpful. And then, as I've just alluded to, the picking can be an obsessive compulsive action. What do I mean by obsession? I mean something that is very much in the forefront of their consciousness, something that they are very mindful about, and something that thought about the picking can enter into their heads uninvited. So an obsession component can be important, but also the compulsive aspect of the obsessive compulsive disease is the compulsion to pick at the skin. And compulsion is more like an addiction, really. It's more like, you know, I don't feel in control of this compulsion. I don't feel that I can stop myself from picking at the skin. And there are various ways that we can work on the OCD, the obsessive compulsion disorder component of skin picking. And that can be through medication, and often we'll use SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor medication, for that, together with cognitive behavioral therapy. And there are various aspects of cognitive behavioral therapy, such as ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy, or other forms of cognitive behavioral therapy. And we know that the combination of medication and cognitive behavioral therapy usually gets the patient with skin picking problems better, more comprehensively and more quickly, and with fewer recurrences. And then I've alluded to this several times now over these series of podcasts. The golden rule of psychodermatology is to treat the skin and the psychological disease at the same time. So it would be important as well to treat the skin. And the first port of call for treating skin is to try and establish good skin barrier function with complete or comprehensive emollient therapy. And then with patients who have skin picking problems, it might be important to try and treat the inflammatory component with something that is appropriate, which could be topical steroids, or it could be topical antibiotics or even systemic antibiotics, or sometimes phototherapy. So the combination of psychological treatments as well as cutaneous treatments at the same time and as early as possible would be the best way of managing patients with skin picking disease.
So thank you very much for your nice summary there. I think we've covered quite a few topics over these past four episodes, everything from the importance of emollients in dry skins all the way to disorders around in psychodermatology. So I'm going to put you on the spot here and just ask, not just to summarise this episode, but what would be your key take homes throughout these four episodes for nurses that are listening, and how would you like them to alter their practice as a result?
So thanks very much for that, Emmanuel. Yeah, first of all, I'd say for patients, don't suffer in silence. For healthcare professionals, I'd say make sure you listen to the patient. It's so important just to hear what's going on. And then finally, the third thing to think about is treating the golden rule of psychodermatology, treating the skin and the psychological distress at the same time. So we might be treating the psychological distress with medication, we might be treating it with cognitive behavioral therapy, but for the skin, it's important to manage the skin at the same time and early in the patient's journey. And the treatment of the skin starts off with making sure that we have good barrier function of the skin by comprehensive use of emollients, and then treating whatever is going on with the skin with anti-inflammatories or phototherapy, or these days further treatments such as systemics or biological treatments.
And I just had another final question. What is the future for the extended role of dermatology nurses in psychodermatology?
Well, you know, the extended role of nurses in psychodermatology has not really been facilitated as much as it should be. We know that lots of nurses are beginning to, actually, I probably mean that some nurses are beginning to be trained in habit reversal, but it should be the case that lots of nurses have the skills to be able to deliver habit reversal. Habit reversal treatment, as you know from previous episodes of this podcast series, is a behavioral technique whereby we deconstruct patients' habits of scratching or picking at their skin with a less destructive habit. And nurses, in my view, are brilliantly placed to be able to do that. Now, happily, Psychodermatology UK, together with the BDNG, is establishing a training school for habit reversal for nurses in being able to train in habit reversal. And I think that's something that we need to have available across the UK. But also other roles that nurses can engage in terms of psychodermatology is the extended role of cognitive behavioral therapy. And I certainly believe that dermatology nurses are in a brilliant place to provide cognitive behavioral therapy. I would argue, for example, that phototherapy and the nurses who are engaging patients in phototherapy already provide patients with basic affirmative cognitive behavioral therapy, because patients who attend for phototherapy often attend many occasions over several weeks, and they establish a really great rapport with their treating nurse, their phototherapy nurse. And I think the phototherapy nurses already do a brilliant job in terms of basic cognitive behavioral therapy. But we want in my practice, but also in Psychodermatology UK, we want to encourage nurses to be able to have skills where they can actually sit with patients and offer basic cognitive behavioral therapy in parallel with other clinicians. And that can be either on a one-to-one basis or in a group basis. And so I see an extended role for nurses in terms of developing skills for basic cognitive behavioral therapy in those kind of environments.
Fantastic. Great summary there. And we'd just like to say thank you again for your time and your expertise on what has been quite a good little four podcast series, if we do say ourselves. So thank you again and have a lovely evening. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.